BDNG podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I am the Education Development Lead for the BDNG. I hope you enjoy listening to the BDNG podcast and find them beneficial to your practice. These podcasts are sponsored by Amaril. Amaril has no influence over the content of these podcasts. Happy listening.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name's Jodie. I'm the education nurse for the BDNG, and I'm delighted to be joined today by one of my colleagues, Dr. Eva Kloschko. Eva is a London-based consultant dermatologist with an interest in skin cancer. She has a unique patient doctor perspective, and recently she underwent Mohs micrographic surgery for skin cancer herself. So today's hot topic is going to be Mohs micrographic surgery. So Eva, thank you for joining us this afternoon. So
thank you,
do you want to let's go from the basics really. So what actually is Mohs?
Mohs surgery stands for a subtype of surgical approach for management of skin cancer. And the best way to explain it is if I compare it to standard excision. For example, if you have a lesion on your forehead and it's deemed to be a skin cancer, you will have an option to have a standard surgery, which means that we remove a lesion and we take anywhere between three to six millimeters margin of healthy skin around it. And that automatically means that this defect after removing it will be much larger than the initial lesion. With most micrographic surgery, we don't take that safety margin. We take the lesion first, and then we look under the microscope if everything has been taken out. If it hasn't, then we go back and take a little bit more and we keep going. In practice, for a patient, from patient perspective, with standard excision, you go in, you have it removed, stitched up, and then you go home. It probably takes usually an hour. With most micrographic surgery, you can expect to stay in the unit for almost entire day because everything happens in real time. Unlike with standard surgery, where the sample is sent to the lab and you wait for the results a few weeks, here you have your lesion removed, then nurses will apply a dressing. You'll be invited to take a seat in a waiting room, which might take about 2 hours, during which time the doctors are looking under the microscope at slides of that lesion to check if it has been fully removed or not. And if it hasn't, then they invite you back on the couch and they take more and they keep going. So as you can imagine, it's a long process and it can take a long hours. So you can expect to be there for the whole day.
So when they take the sample, is the process of reviewing it under the slides very similar to what they do in histopathology, or does it differ slightly?
The main difference is how the slides are prepared to speed the process up. So they're frozen sections usually. And the principle in terms of assessment, yes, we on both sides, we look at the microscope, but it's just the technicality is slightly different.
And in terms of lesions, can we utilise Mohs for all skin cancers, all lesions, or are there specific types of lesions that we tend to utilise Mohs best for?
Most commonly, we use Mohs for basal cell carcinomas on areas which are cosmetically sensitive. So areas where you don't have much skin to move around, for example, nose, lips, eyelids, where you really can't afford a huge defect. It can be sometimes used for different types of skin cancers, but that depends on the center, that depends on a surgeon and what they're comfortable with. But in the UK, Mohs is commonly used for BCC, so basal cell carcinomas.
And when patients come in and you discuss the procedure with them, what are they expecting to gain from having Mohs in comparison to a standard excision, for instance?
That's a very good question. So in terms of risk of recurrence in a context of basal cell carcinomas, most micrographic surgery is superior than standard excision. And reason being is when you remove the sample in most micrographic surgery, you can see all margins of that lesion. When you remove a sample with standard excision, imagine that your sample is a loaf of bread and you slice it. But when you have a histopathologist looking at that lesion, they're not looking at every single slice of bread. They take few sections. So there's a higher risk that you might miss a bit of cancer still remaining in that area. So the risk of recurrence is lower with most micrographic surgery rather than with standard excision. That's one. And the second reason why you may prefer to have Mohs rather than standard excision is there is a higher chance that the final defect will be smaller with Mohs surgery. Because as you remember, with standard excision, we take a safety margin of about 4 to 6 millimeters. Whilst with Mohs, we don't do the safety margin. We just go one by one and we just check under the microscope whether our margins are clear. And having said that, the caveat to this is, of course, if your margin with Mohs surgery continues to be positive, you might be surprised and actually final defect might be bigger than extra 3-4 millimeters. But this is rare. Majority of patients will have a smaller final defect than with standard excision.
Okay, that's great. But what if you had a lesion that, you know, if you imagine that the BCC is a tree, we can see the top of the tree, but we don't obviously know how far the roots go. So upon doing Mohs micrographic surgery, if you found that once you've removed it, the defect is really large, do all dermatology Mohs surgeons, can they all reconstruct? Or is there often times where they might have to go to, say, the maxillofacial team or oculoplastics? What happens in these instances?
Sometimes this is the case that the defect is so large, we need to get help from other specialties. In some cases, this can be plastic surgery or head and neck team, sometimes ENT, especially for lesions that are in the ear canal. So that's true. And what I should also mention, if this becomes complex, for example, lesion on the eyelid, often patient would have a procedure over 2 days. So you come in for your Mohs surgery, Mohs aspect where we aim to remove the lesion, make sure that nothing is left behind. We pop the dressing on, and then unfortunately you wait a day, sometimes it's longer than a day, to see an oculoplastic surgeon to have this area reconstructed. So there might be a bit of a delay depending on the service setup. That might be something to consider for patients who prefer to just get on with it and have it done in one go.
And then with that delay, would that potentially impact the defect or the ultimate result by having a delay in closure? Or would the outcome be exactly the same, irrespective if it was done on the same day?
Yeah, so we try to arrange reconstruction as soon as it is logistically possible. But of course, sometimes there are hurdles. And the biggest concern here is risk of infection. But we've got amazing nurses who are trained in adequate dressings. And sometimes, not always, but sometimes we would suggest prophylactic antibiotics when we anticipate long a delay when it comes to reconstruction.
And as I gather from doing Mohs surgery, the sample goes obviously through the cryostat to obviously when they're testing to see where the skin cancer cells remain. But in cases where you might have somebody who are HIV positive or have bloodborne infections, is that process the same?
This process, to the best of my knowledge, is the same. Because we treat all samples with such a precaution as anyone with HIV or not. So I think just if you imagine taking blood sample from someone, or if you imagine operating on someone, you would follow the same procedure in terms of PPE, regardless if the patient is HIV positive or not. So I'm not aware of any special precautions, and certainly I haven't seen those with most surgery. Have you, Jodie?
Just from my experience, we used to maybe do something like slow-mos. So rather than it going through the lab, it would obviously go to histopathology, and we do it like that, which yeah, it can be quite a timely delay for the patient, but obviously we just do it in terms of the safety aspect of the sample.
Yes, and we sometimes do it in cases where we want to have reassurance from his pathologist about the clearance of the margins. But yeah, I haven't seen it done in terms of risk of infection precautions.
Perfect. And then thinking about the defect and having Mohs surgery, what advice would you be giving to patients? Because obviously, you know, I think with Mohs, you are kind of going into the unknown, really, in terms of what the ultimate outcome is going to look like.
Yeah, absolutely. Also thinking about my own experience, I remember going to this presentation on Mohs micrographic surgery just a few days before my procedure. And there were the most challenging cases that this Mohs surgeon was describing. And there were cases of patients with relatively small lesions, and they ended up with a huge defect on their face. And I remember this really terrified me. So this is always a possibility, but it's not the most common outcome. So yes, you need to counsel patients that there is always a possibility that the defect will be much larger than we expect. This is why when you meet your surgeon, whether this is oculoplastic surgeon or plastic surgeon, and you talk about reconstruction, it's very difficult for them to tell you what they will do, what they can offer, because they don't see the defect just yet. They're not sure how big it's going to be. So you as a patient, you need to be prepared for many different potential options when it comes to reconstruction.
So I know you've said that Mohs can be used for BCCs, but is there any evidence that it can be used for SCCs or MMs, or is it purely just for high-risk BCCs?
It can be used for SCCs, and it can be used for some types of melanomas. But again, it depends on the setup facilities and what the team is comfortable with in terms of interpreting those slides, because you need to be really confident to say to the patient, yes, this is clear, now we can stop, we don't need to cut anything extra.
And do all dermatologists read their slides, or do they sometimes have a histopathologist present to confirm or support their diagnosis, if you were on the margins, etc.?
Yeah, so in majority of cases, dermatologist is expected to read their own slides, and most centres will have an audit where histopathologist once a year will go through certain slides just to double check and audit their work. Some centres may arrange for selected cases to have histopathologist double checking, but I haven't seen this as a routine practice. I'm not sure if you have seen that in your practice, Jodie.
I've seen a bit of both, but I think it's just, as you say, whatever suits the service need, really. One of the other questions I wanted to ask is, in terms of Mohs micrographic surgery, is the clinical outcome and risk of recurrence the same as that of radiotherapy, or is it significantly higher with use of Mohs?
Risk of recurrence is higher with radiotherapy rather than with Mohs. So if you were to arrange those treatment options, starting with the one that has lowest risk of recurrence, then that would be Mohs micrographic surgery, because when you remove it, you see all margins, so you're very confident, and you can confidently say to the patient, this has been fully removed. And then you've got excision, so another surgical approach, and then radiotherapy, so the risk of recurrence is much higher, about one in in 10% at 5 years with radiotherapy. So it's a huge difference for a patient, and I would reserve usually radiotherapy for those patients who are less likely to tolerate surgery.
And are there any areas that you specifically cannot do Mohs on? For example, could you do Mohs on a hand?
You could if you want to, but this is a kind of a waste of a resource.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you could. I'm sure if we went to LA or New York, I'm sure it'll be someone offering Mohs for a BCC on the hand, which we would probably just whip out in the UK. But yeah, we use it for high risk areas where every millimeter of the skin is important to preserve. That's sort of a standard approach in the UK, but in theory, I suppose you could use it anywhere.
And in terms of, like, obviously, as you know, social media influences everybody now, and we have to think about, you know, image is a big thing to people. So if people were worried about the defects from having Mohs surgery, in terms of further management, what would you be saying as like tips and tricks, if you were, for them to hide the scar?
Yeah, I think there are numerous approaches. And I think number one is a bit of patience, because you need to remember that a scar takes about 18 months to mature. So it's a long period of time to have this final result. And simple things which you can do at home is massaging the area with pressure to make this scar more pliable and soften it. You can use silicone gel or silicone sheets. I personally prefer silicone sheets, because I think with a gel, you feel obliged to do it at least once a day, and sometimes it's difficult with busy schedule, whilst if you stick on a silicone sheet, then you can just forget about it and it's there doing its job. And then finally, you can, if you're not satisfied with your scar, you can consider having some laser treatments or cosmetic treatments to improve its appearance. And of course, during the process, there are amazing services such as changing faces, which can guide patients how to use, for example, makeup, camouflage, to reduce the appearance of the scars.
And as somebody like yourself who's been through it, what would your take-home message be to those who may be thinking about having Mohs surgery?
Don't be afraid. it's certainly worth it. Just having this peace of mind that you've had procedure that cured your cancer, and the risk of recurrence is so low. It's about 1%, at less than 1% at 5 years. And I suppose taking into consideration that in the UK these days, about 1 in 2 people will have some sort of a cancer, having BCC managed with Mohs is like winning a ticket in lottery, because it's done and dusted and it's treated. And I had an amazing team, and my experience was very good. But I suppose the biggest take-home message is don't be afraid, and make sure you ask all the questions before you go in, because on the day it's very fast-paced and there are many patients. You're not the only person having Mohs. Probably there will be few patients altogether walking in and out from the same surgical room. So what I'm trying to say, in practice, whilst you're having your procedure done, you're having lesion removed, there is someone else who is waiting for their slides, etc., etc. So it may feel almost like a conveyor belt. So if you have questions, always ask early.
Thank you so much, Everett. It's been a pleasure you joining us this evening, and I look forward to catching up with you soon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. For further information on the BDNG, visit our website bdng.org.uk and watch out for the next BDNG podcast, which is coming soon.